Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom.
It's day three of our literature unit. We've been talking about one of my favorite authors, Jane Austen. I love Jane Austen. But in particular, we're focusing on her book, Sense and Sensibility, The Rationality and Romanticism in Sense and Sensibility. We've talked about the plot. We talked about Jane Austen's life, her background. She had some success while she was alive, which I'm really happy to hear for her. But nowadays, she's hugely famous.
But, of course, she has left behind a legacy. Even though she's gone, her books remain.
Yes.
And, of course, they're as popular as ever. They, of course, are being published right now as we speak. Somewhere in the world, a printing press is printing them out, and people are... reading them like hotcakes. So indeed, you can check these out as well. But, this is something I'm not very good at, because these always involve plots with lots of people and different things happen and stuff like that. I have difficulty keeping track of all that kind of stuff. But, hey, maybe I should give it a try and try to read them myself instead of the usual adventure spy novels that I usually read because I'm a guy. But in any case, today we're going to talk about some themes and ideas in our featured novel, Sense and Sensibility. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now.
Sense and Sensibility's main themes are character, love and marriage, and social strategy. The title describes the characteristics of the two Dashwood sisters. Eleanor exemplifies good sense. She thinks rationally and approaches situations realistically. She hides her true emotions and keeps secrets from others. In contrast, Marianne embodies sensibility, a heightened sensitivity to emotion. Marianne overtly expresses her emotions whenever she speaks or cries. In the end, it takes a mixture of sense and sensibility for both sisters to achieve contentment. Upon learning that Edward has not married Lucy, Eleanor has an uncharacteristic outburst, overwhelmed with love for him. Marianne also gives up her idealistic view of romance and learns to love the caring but serious Colonel Brandon. In the historical setting of the novel, marriage was less about love and more about gaining wealth and uniting families. Family fortunes were often inherited through marriage, and women's futures and livelihoods depended on the men they married. Similarly, upper-class men whose family money had run out aspired to marry heiresses. While some of the characters marry solely for money, Eleanor and Marianne both marry for a secure living as well as romantic love. Like many novels of the time, Sense and Sensibility is a novel of manners. It demonstrates the highly specific customs of the English upper class through scenes of social gatherings and in carefully written letters. Many characters focus on moving up the social ladder through marriage. Therefore, these characters strategically compete with each other to make the most advantageous match. Austen criticizes social norms by portraying materialistic characters in a bad light, while the two heroines get happy endings that include both love and financial comfort.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson, Rationality and Romanticism in Sense and Sensibility. Now, Sense and Sensibility's main themes are character, love and marriage, and social strategy. Here, character is referring to your characteristics, what kind of person you are. Are you an honest, respectable, trustworthy person, or are you devious and untrustworthy and someone that no one should have anything to do with? That's all about your character. Do you have good moral character, for example. It's also, of course, about love and marriage, finding these girls' husbands and stuff like that, and for the guys to find wives as well, and also social strategy. Strategy, of course, is how you plan things out, and of course, we all know about this. The modern version would be like in your classroom at school, like who's popular and who hangs out with who, and then there would be strategies in the office, you know, who does the boss like the best, you know, who gets the most favors and things like that. These things are going on all the time. So, yes, people are manipulating each other all the time, and they're telling each other stories, some true, some false, in order to get what they want.
So the title describes the characteristics of the two Dashwood sisters. Eleanor exemplifies good sense. If you exemplify something, you're a good example of something. You can use that as a verb to exemplify. We hope you're all exemplifying great character as you go about your lives. So she exemplifies good sense. She thinks rationally and approaches situations realistically. She's not flighty or crazy or someone you can't depend on. She has a lot of good sense, or as we like to say, she has common sense, which has nothing to do with how smart you are. There are a lot of smart people that have no common sense and do crazy things or aren't able to, you know, make good decisions like normal people. So she exemplifies that good sense, and she also thinks rationally. She uses logic, and she thinks through things before she makes, you know, crazy rushed decisions. She also approaches situations realistically. If you're realistic, you look at reality instead of what you think it should be or what you wish it would be. Or sometimes you can be pessimistic and look at things pessimistically, which means you don't see any good at all. You always look for the bad. No, she looks at things realistically, so she likes to look at reality and make practical choices.
That's Eleanor, of course, and maybe we all have a sibling like that. My oldest brother seems to be, my eldest brother seems to be always logical and reasonable and doesn't look at things from an emotional point of view at all, whereas younger siblings might actually be more a little bit more emotional or something like that. But in this particular case, we're talking about Eleanor, the older sister. Yes, she has good sense, hence the title, Sense in Sensibility. And again, she's rational, she's realistic. She hides her true emotions and keeps secrets from others. Yes, indeed, you don't want to reveal to other people how you really feel. And of course, you've got to keep that information from others. Don't let them know. And in contrast, Marianne embodies sensibility, a heightened sensitivity to emotion. So that's in contrast. If we talk about things that are completely opposite or completely different from each other, we say this, in contrast. I could say, my friend Kevin loves German food, but in contrast, my friend Lisa hates German food. She actually prefers French food.
Oh, really? Well, interesting.
Just example sentence. Yeah.
So in contrast, Marianne is just the opposite, right? She is all about emotions. And she doesn't try to hide her emotions. People know exactly how she feels all the time. So she has a heightened or increased sense, increased emotional response to everything. Heightened just means something that's been increased. Sensitivity means, wow, you are so sensitive. So it's easy to make you mad, or you're easily provoked, you're easily amused. So that's, you know, you don't want to be too sensitive in this life, especially nowadays. So she has a heightened sensitivity to emotion. If you overtly do something, it means it's out in the open. Covert, which is the opposite. Covert is used a lot to talk about spies. Spies and their covert operations. So they're hiding things. But if you're overtly doing something, it's very open. It's out there in the open. You're not hiding anything. So she overtly expresses her emotions whenever she speaks or cries.
Right, exactly. So you pretty much know how she's feeling all the time. And, of course, it's easy to figure out ways to manipulate her as a result. So maybe in this particular sense, Eleanor is probably better at surviving than her sister Marianne, because everybody knows what Marianne is thinking all the time. Now, here it goes on to say, in the end, it takes a mixture of sense and sensibility for both sisters to achieve contentment. So, yeah, I guess you can't be totally rational and realistic like Eleanor, and you can't be totally emotional like Marianne either. It's kind of a mixture of the two, maybe half and half of sensibility and sense, and they need this mixture of sense and sensibility for both of them to be content, to be happy, or to achieve contentment. In other words, basically to be satisfied with your life.
Which isn't always easy, as we all know. Sometimes you have good days and bad days, but if you're content, it just means you appreciate what you have. I think a lot of times we aren't grateful enough for the good things in our lives. And if you take a moment to think about all the blessings that you have, you can feel content, even though you may not have achieved all you want to. Right now, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher for a bit, and then we'll come back and continue talking about the themes in this book.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是哈利。我们今天要阅读的文章是 Unit 10文学单元的第三天课程。在今天的文章中，我们将会阅读到小说 Sense and Sensibility 所要探讨的主题。首先我们看到第一段的第二句 The title describes the characteristics of the two Dashwood sisters. 此书名描述达许伍德两姐妹的特征。名词 characteristic 的意思是 A quality or feature of something or someone that is typical of them and easy to recognize. 也就是特性、特征的意思。这个字也可以做形容词用，意思是特有的、典型的。 A be characteristic of B 就是指 A 是 B 的特色。例如 The transparent ceiling in this room is characteristic of the architect's style. 这房间的透明天花板是这位建筑师的风格特色。 Character C-H-A-R-A-C-T-E-R 是角色、个性的意思。例如 The movie's lead character is played by Brad Pitt. 这部电影的主角是由布莱德·比特演出。Characterize C-H-A-R-A-C-T-E-R-I-Z-E 则是动词，意思是为什么的特征。 A be characterized by B 就是指 A 以 B 为特色。例如The famous artist's paintings are characterized by bright colors. 这位知名艺术家画作的特色就是明亮的颜色。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue here. Again, we're talking about some themes and ideas in our featured novel, Sense and Sensibility. We're basically describing the different personalities or different characters of Eleanor and Marianne. Basically, need a mix of those things for them to be content. And upon learning, or when she learns that Edward has not married Lucy, Eleanor has an uncharacteristic outburst, overwhelmed with love for him. I believe that's like toward the end of the movie, right?
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, she held this off for the whole movie. She was in love with Edward, but she had to keep her emotions in check. And then when Edward finally said, hey, I'm not married to Lucy, my heart has been and will always be yours. I think that's kind of the line he used. Hugh Grant, I think, said that.
I love Hugh Grant.
In any case, and of course, she usually controls her emotions, but she has an uncharacteristic outburst. Uncharacteristic means it's unlike that person. It's something that person doesn't normally do. She actually gets really emotional, and she has this outburst, which means she basically gets really emotional when she usually is very cold and logical.
Yeah, so outburst is that sudden release of an emotion. Could be anger, you know. It could be sadness, happiness. So that's what happens at the end. She's overwhelmed with love for Edward and can't control her emotions finally. And lets him see how she feels. So Marianne also gives up her idealistic view of romance and learns to love the caring but serious Colonel Brandon. He's also older than she is, and I think, you know, that would have played a part in her love as well. But she grows to love him. It's a slower love than the one she had for Willoughby. Willoughby was just hot. So she fell in love with him quickly. Idealistic just means you're not very practical. What you're aiming for is something that's very impossible. Maybe you want perfection. That's almost an impossible thing to ever achieve. So she has this idealistic view of romance that has to kind of change a little. She becomes more practical. She sees that Colonel Brandon does love her, and he treats her so well. He respects her. And he was the one to save her life when she got very sick and was outside in the rain. So there's a lot of good things about Colonel Brandon. Of course, the actor who plays him is one of my favorites, so I love Colonel Brandon. Now, in the historical setting of the novel, marriage was less about love and more about gaining wealth and uniting families. It's true. Back then, love was never about falling in love with someone. Ooh, I fell in love with him. Let's get married. No. It was about, does that guy have enough money? Will he help our family, rise in a social setting? A lot of the very wealthy families who are aristocratic families wanted to marry so they could combine their wealth and become even more powerful. So that's what the marriage was about back then. They were arranged marriages. If you unite somebody with somebody else, you put them together, you combine them. So uniting families was very important as well.
Right. Unite to bring together like the United States of America, the United Nations, etc. And family fortunes were often inherited through marriage. Okay, so if you got married, the money could move around more easily, and women's futures and livelihoods depended on the men they married. That seems to be still kind of true today. Of course, lots of women depend on their men for their income. Although, of course, there are women who are independent as well. But back then, I think women were pretty much, well, I would say maybe 90% dependent on men for their livelihood.
95% maybe.
95, some very high, basically.
Yeah, no kidding.
And your livelihood basically is just how well you're able to survive. Are you comfortable? Do you get the things you need in life, et cetera, et cetera? Are you protected? Is your life safe? Things like that. So, of course, their livelihoods depended on the men that they married. And similarly, upper-class men whose family money had run out aspired to marry heiresses. So that's kind of the opposite there. If you are a man and your family lost all their money, then you could go find a rich girl, basically, and marry her. So, of course, your money had run out. That's the past participle there, run out. To run out of, as the verb phrase, just means to basically not have it anymore. You can run out of fuel in your car, for example, if you drive from Taipei down to Kending, so you need to stop at a gas station and get some gasoline. Your luck might run out as well if you've been doing quite well because of luck, and then finally it catches up to you, and then you lose. Your luck runs out. Lots of things can run out.
Oh, yeah. I was making some cookies last week, and I suddenly discovered I'd run out of sugar. So because I ran out of sugar, I had to stop making my cookies and go to the store. So, yeah, you can run out of lots of things. You can run out of patience, too. Mm. Sometimes parents will run out of patience with little kids, toddlers especially, that you have to chase around, or they'll get into trouble or hurt themselves. So you can run out of stuff. So if your family money had run out, they no longer had that money to pay for their living, they would often try to find very wealthy women whose family probably didn't have an older brother. And so she, you know, had money, and they wanted to marry some of these wealthy heiresses. While some of the characters marry solely or only for money, Eleanor and Marianne got both, which is pretty wonderful. They got some comfort. They had enough money that they could pay for their living expenses. But they also had romantic love, which is awesome. Solely here is a word that really does just mean only. My sole friend in Taiwan is Tom. He's my only friend. Solely here, of course, is the adverb to solely. My favorite exercise is running. So for exercise, I solely run in the mornings. So okay. solely. Only, that's what that means. So luckily for our two great characters, Marianne and Eleanor, they got the best of both worlds. They got the money and they got the love.
Well, it's good that the book has a happy ending, but the author's life did not have a happy ending.
No.
Gee, dying so young, she should have lived into her 80s at least.
But not back then, Tom.
Well, I mean, no, if it was possible, it would have been nice. You know, she could have kept on writing. But in any case here, let's move on now to the final paragraph. It says, like many novels of the time, or similar to many novels of that period of history, Sense and Sensibility is a novel of manners. Manners, of course, refer to how you do things. Do you have good manners, etc.? Do you say please and thank you and stuff like that? It demonstrates the highly specific customs of the English upper class through scenes of social gatherings and in carefully written letters. So if you want to know how rich people were doing things back then, this novel will show you that kind of stuff. They had specific customs of how you're supposed to behave at social gatherings like a ball or a banquet or something like that. A gathering, of course, is when people get together for some specific reason, usually like a dinner party or a ball, a dance or something like that. And they also wrote letters to each other as well. So this book has letters quoted in the novel, and you can see exactly how they spoke to each other using proper English. And again, it's all about manners.
Oh, yeah. There were so many rules back then among the people in, you know, the upper class, which is really what Jane Austen lived in. She was in an upper class. She didn't have a lot of money, but she didn't have to work for a living. Her parents didn't work for a living. They had inherited money. So there were a lot of things that you could do and couldn't do. And if you didn't do things correctly, the people in your class would sort of want to toss you out. You weren't invited to things. You weren't invited to balls. So it demonstrates the highly specific customs that they had back then, what their social gatherings were like. It's fun to read about that period of time. I love books in this period of time. A gathering is when people get together. It could also be called a get-together. We use that as a noun, get-together, with a hyphen between get and together. That's a gathering. So many characters focus on moving up the social ladder through marriage. That's how you increased your social standing. Therefore, these characters strategically compete with each other to make the most advantageous match, a match that's has advantages for them. Austen criticizes social norms, things that were the standards are called social norms, by portraying materialistic characters in a bad light. If you portray somebody as something, it's how you feature them, it's how you describe them, it's how they react in situations. So she portrayed these people who are all focused on money in a bad light. She criticized them in her writing in the way she portrayed them or talked about the situations. While the two heroines, Marianne and Eleanor, they get the happy ending. So hero is male, heroine is female, and we had two heroines in this book. So right now, we got to wrap up pretty quickly and listen to our Chinese teacher.
我们接着看到第一段的倒数第二句. Upon learning that Edward has not married Lucy, Eleanor has an uncharacteristic outburst, overwhelmed with love for him. 艾莲娜一知道爱德华没有和露西结婚，由于她内心充斥着对他的爱意，她的情绪因而爆发出来，这和平常的她有所不同。这个句子的后半部分是分词构句，原来的句子是 And she was overwhelmed with love for him. 因为后半句的主词和前半句的主词都是 Eleanor, 所以就将后半句的主词 and she 省略。又因为这句是被动语态，所以 be 动词 was 也省略，只留下过去分词 overwhelmed。 P
片语 be overwhelmed by 或 be overwhelmed with something 有被什么压垮、对什么不知所措的意思。例如 ,The girl was overwhelmed with guilt after lying to her mother. 那位女孩对她妈妈撒谎后觉得愧疚不已。第二段提到在小说中时代结婚通常无关爱情，而是为了得到财富和巩固家族的社会地位。我们看到第二段的倒数第二句 Similarly, upper-class men whose family money had run out aspired to marry heiresses. 家族钱财用尽的上层阶级男子则同样渴望和女继承人结婚。副词 similarly 是相似地的意思，相当于 likewise。L-I-K-E-W-I-S-E 例如 Ryan is deeply in love with Anita. Likewise, Anita is crazy about Ryan. 莱恩深爱着艾妮塔。同样的，艾妮塔也为莱恩感到疯狂。另外我们看到这句有一个片语 run out 用完耗尽的意思。如果我们说 something run out 就是指某物用完了。例如 ,we have to hurry up because our time is running out. 我们必须快一点因为时间快用完了。如果我们说 ,somebody run out of something, 则是指某人用完某物。例如 ,Jeff didn't pay his rent because he had run out of money. 杰夫没有付房租因为他的钱用完了。我们看到全文的最后一句有一个片语 ,in a bad light.In a 什么 light 是指用什么的角度来看待。例如 ,Jack's opinion made me see this incident in a different light. 杰克的意见让我用不同的角度来看这个事件。和 light 相关的常见片语还有 in light of something, 有鉴于、由于的意思。例如 ,in light of Jeremy's excellent performance, the boss decided to give him a promotion.由于杰瑞米的优良表现，老板决定升迁他。Shed light on, throw light on, 或 cast light on something, 阐明某事物，解释清楚某事物的意思。Eddie's explanation shed some light on this issue. 艾迪的解释阐明了这项议题。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
That's it for today, everybody. We certainly hope you enjoyed our explanation of Sense and Sensibility. And, you know, if we haven't inspired you to read the novel, we hope you at least will check out the movie directed by An Lee, which came out way back in 1995. It is quite a good film. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.